Blog Talk Radio.
Let's do it. Oh yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Oh yeah. Oh no. Come on. It's the Empowerment Hour. It's 365 days of you know what. That's motivation and personal empowerment just for you. We got another one for you today. We'll evaluate ourselves the only way. That's honesty. Coming right up. Just a moment. Come on. Y'all come on with me now. There's no better love. Y'all know how this go. Oh yeah. No better love. There is no better love than for self and kind. No better love. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. It's another Saturday just for us to have a conversation, a dialogue about us. How are we going to get better if we don't practice? What team you know can perform, performer, go out on the field and execute well if they don't practice? Who? You know, you think Tiger Woods got that good by just being that good? You think Serena Williams got that good just being that good? Of course they had talent, but they had to practice. You think Michael Jordan was that good just because he showed up? No, 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 people. We had to practice. And practice is important to perfection. And we have to learn how to perfect our craft of getting good and being ourselves. That's getting back to our original state and our original mindset. And guess who's going to have to do that work? Us. You got it right. How are we going to do it? Here at the NAAEA, it's simple. We have a mission. That mission is to develop programs and services that ensure the needs of our communities are met through the development of programs and services that do one thing and do it well. Educate, inspire, motivate, and empower our communities to become better than they ever were. That's our work. Guess what? All we got to do is do the work of doing these five things and more. Let's have a political agenda. Let's get on top of the political game in this country. Let's start to think our way through, see our way through the haze and the maze to get a political agenda that works for us. Two, economics. Let's get an economics plan and an economic agenda where we can manage money and we see people that are in our community making all of the money that we get and then they take it home and they live well and our kids can't even get a good pair of shoes and a good school to go to. Something wrong with that. But if we finance our own institutions, our own schools, our own institutions, then we got something going on. And then there's athletics. That's the A, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, taking care of your mind and your body and your spirit. That's your job. You got to take care of yourself. Are you walking? Are you working out? Are you eating healthy food? Get off the chips, man. Get off the bandwagon and go out there and take yourself a 15 to 20, 30-minute walk. Do some meditation and some mindfulness. Get into yoga or Pilates and do your health and wellness checks. That's right. I said it. Get up off the couch. And even if you watch the TV, you can put the remote in one hand and lift your knees and arms on the other one. Get moving while you watch the TV. We got to do something. And then there's culture. Relevant cultural programs that give us direction. And even those programs have to give us correction for direction because we got to know where we're going, where we headed. We got to have an agenda of where we're going, where we're going to teach our children to go if we don't know where we're going. How can they lead the next generation when they didn't get the foundation? So we have to have a foundation for the next generation. And lastly, the E is education. Now, I just spelled out peace for you because that's what we need within ourselves and within our homes, within our families, and within our communities is education, comprehensive education that gets us on top of our game. Knowing what we got to do, how we got to do it, why we got to do, what we got to do, when we got to do it, where we got to do it, and even how much we got to do it till we get the work done. We're resurrecting ourselves. Who else is talking like this? Why we can't do that? That's our rightful place to educate ourselves and give ourselves the best opportunities to flourish in this world. That's right. Why not? We have to own up to some things. And one of those things is that we have to be the advocates for change in our own community. I'm going to slide on over to Brother George. It's your time, brother. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine today, brother. All praise be to God. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. You can kind of see I'm getting started because I'm on fire. Let's go, brother. What you got?
All right. Well, today I'm going to talk about principles of Kwanzaa in a context of why Mylana Karanga put them together in the first place. The principles of Kwanzaa, called the Nguza Saba, he put those principles together because he put together a cultural holiday because he was trying to get us back in the mindset of being who we are as a group of people culturally. And so today I'm going to use the number one principle above all, and that's umoja, which is unity. To strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Without that, none of the other things would work. So let's just keep that in mind. Keep that in the forefront of our mind throughout today's show. Today, on the Willingness segment, we're going to be reading out of a book that's written by Neely Fuller Jr. called The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, a Compensatory Counter-Racist Code, which he wrote this book to try to get us to identify and understand what white supremacy racism actually is and how it functions. Now, I'm going to read from the section that's he's talking about the different areas of people activity, and I'm going to read something from the number one activity, which is economics. Economics does not mean simply acquiring savings and or spending money. Economics is not a tool of money. Money is a tool of economics. Economics is the result of people speaking and acting effectively in the production of justice and correctness. It is not simply how money is handled that determines economics. It is the matter of how everything is handled and to what end. Economics pertains to how all time and all energy is used. In order for a person who is the victim of racism, white supremacy, a non-white person, to practice economics, that person must speak, act, and produce justice and correctness in the sum total of everything that he or she does, says, and everything he or she does not say. This includes the use of time and energy in the consumption of food, drink, and in acts of sexual intercourse and or thoughts of sexual intercourse, in the use of music, in the manner and use of labor, etc. For example, if listening to a particular type of music inspires a person to think better while performing some functions that helps to eliminate racism, then that type of sound becomes music, and that person at that time serves an economic purpose. The same is true for any other thing or function pertaining to a person in any of his or her day-to-day activities. In regards to any action against racism, economic correctness is not determined by any one thing that a victim of racism does or does not do, but by the sum total of everything that victim does or does not do in terms of effective results against racism. And I said that because sometimes we don't understand, we don't think in enough dimensions to fully understand why the economics in our community is not working for us. It's because sometimes the music that's being played is counterproductive to what we're doing. Sometimes the words and the terms that we use are counterproductive to what we're doing. For example, nigger. And for example, you know, a lot of cursing and disgracing of our community in the music, a lot of that is counterproductive for our thoughts and development as a people to move forward doing things in unison. So I just wanted to touch on those things, and back to you, Marvin.
Great job, Brother George. Great job, man. You put it together so well every week. Y'all better listen to this, brother. He got it all together. We talk about Kwanzaa for a minute. Our Kwanzaa piece today is unity. Don't you think we need unity in our families? Don't you think we need unity in our community? The brother is right. We got to strive for and maintain that unity. Because if we got that unity within ourselves, and then that translates into our homes and families, it will be in the streets when we get there. But we got to do the work of doing that number one Kwanzaa piece. See, we're doing Kwanzaa 365 days. It's like we're doing African-American empowerment. You got to strive for that and maintain it within yourself first, because some of us have internal wars going on before we even get to what's going on outside of us. Let's quell, let's quench, and let's do the resistance of the fight against ourselves, and let's work together. Economics. My brother talked about the economics for change, and guess what? We need it as a tool. I want you to do some research this week. Go out and research Brother Neely Fuller Jr. on top of things. But guess what? We don't know about him in the mainstream, because they're not going to teach you that. They're going to give you a whole lot of stuff to keep you confused and clouding your consciousness. We'll talk about that later on, because we're going to be honest with ourselves about evaluating where we are. But first, let me hear from my brother.
Well, I think we fail to see how good and precious life can be. We mm-hmm. operate so much in doom and gloom and negativity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Causes us to tune out the big picture. When we're able to see how good and precious that life can be, it gives you a willingness to strive into the future. It gives you the foundational tenets to lay down for the next generation to build into their future.
So true.
But if we're always walking in doom and gloom and negativity and trying to fit in to somebody else's reality, that's not it. No, no, no. We are unique. Just like there's nobody on the face of this earth that has fingerprints like you, because you are unique. And when we have that unified consciousness, man, the sky's not even the limit for us. It's not. The brother said it right. We can literally create our state of heaven, and we have to walk in that. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to strive to see and even pray how good and precious life can be. And that gives you the opportunity to literally perpetuate happiness and joy and peace and prosperity, because things are being sustained in a sustainable way. So we got work
That's
to do.
That's so true. We got work to do. How about that? We definitely got work to do. So let's lay it down. We're honestly evaluating ourselves today. We've come a long way, but we got a long way to go. Here's the deal. We have to do the honest evaluation of ourselves and how not having an emancipation plan continues to plague and hinder and impact our development. We have to understand that. I'm going to play a clip, and I'll come back going to the lines. First one up is 9282, going to you after we come out of the clip.
We have created a nightmare for our youth. And we talk so much about our youth until we forget that the youth did not make this world they are in. This world that our youth inhabit today was made by us and made by adults. If we gave them a different world to live in, they would behave differently. But when you make jobs for Koreans and make jobs for every other ethnic group but your own, when you let other ethnic groups ship out all of your wealth,
tell it, brother.
When you let the only growth industry in your community become the selling of crack, then you will be killed by your youth. And you'll be terrorized by your youth. These youth are not crazy. These youth are not unusual. They're responding to economic imperatives. When you've let then another people take every industry and every job, the youth become very creative. And they decide then that they're going to figure out a way to get funds within the community.
Ain't that the truth?
When you let them be fed these ideas of what it means to be a man or a woman is as defining themselves in terms of what they wear, buying the most expensive junk and garbage produced by other people, and when you then promote this kind of value system and this kind of behavior system, and yet you will not produce for those appetites and those desires, then they will turn around upon you and eat you alive. It is not unusual. Men have always struggled over scarce resources. And resources have been made scarce in our community. And the only part of gold has been the selling of drugs. And when you have a gold mine, men will go to war over it. Yes, it's not a mystery. And when they go to war over it, they will shoot and kill, and they will destroy bystanders. Nothing unusual about that. Look at the millions and millions of people who were destroyed. Look at the millions of bystanders who were destroyed as the Europeans struggled over gold, when they struggled over markets, and people who got caught in the crossfires. Yet, you see, if we forget the history of these people, we will be too quick to condemn our youth and forget the role that we play in the life that they lead.
How about that? That's Dr. Amos Wilson laying it down. That's how it is, right? How many times you heard this? I don't know why we killing each other. Well, I do, and we all do when we stop ignoring the elephant in the room. We know when we're going to get to it for real and stop ignoring the problems that are economic, that are social, that are cultural, and come up with an agenda. Because, again, after emancipation and after slavery, we didn't have a plan. But now we were successful even throughout those times, all the iterations and all the changes that they took us through. But now where are we, right? And who's under control of our community? Who's under the control of our youth and their minds? And what we have to do to resurrect that. I'm going over to 9282. Well, let's kick this thing off. You know what to do. Better bring it. It's your turn.
Bring it.
Step our power. What's happening, brother?
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Hope all is well.
Hey, let's kick this thing off. What you got, brother? We evaluating ourselves.
Yes, sir, and I'm going to piggyback on several things you've already said, you and Brother George and Brother Stan. I'm going to start with what Brother Stan was talking about, and we don't understand the greatness that's in us.
Mm.
We don't understand the greatness that's in us. And
like
every
that.
Time I use that phrase, it takes me back to my favorite movie, once again, The Lion King, when Mustafa reappeared to Simba and he says, "You are much more or far greater than what you have become. Far greater than what you have become. I dare you say you have been successful. You are far greater than what you have become." That's us. And the next point is, we say, no justice, no peace. We should say, no unity, no justice. Because if we do not come together as a people, reiterating your point, we will never see any justice. Justice comes in our unity. It comes in our unity. It doesn't come when somebody else, we get a guilty verdict or a not guilty verdict, and another white man gets off for killing white for killing one of us, and we run downtown and throw bricks through department store windows and gas the stores and so forth and say, no justice, no peace, because we're not together as a people. No unity, no justice.
I like that.
And you asked the question early on, did Michael Jordan get to his greatness in basketball without practicing? Did Serena get to her greatness in tennis without practicing? Did the singers, did the Temptations, did the entertainers, did they all get to that greatness in their field of expertise without practice? I'm going to take it a step further and ask,
come on,
did
brother.
Did God get to his greatness without practice? Get to his wisdom and knowledge without studying, without learning, without understanding the universe and the situation? Because we teach that God created himself from the triple darkness of the universe. So God had to study. It didn't happen overnight with God. God had to acquire that knowledge. The greatness was there, but he had to study, he had to learn, he had to get that wisdom, that knowledge, and that understanding. Finally, brother, I'm going to say today's topic for me is to take the shot or not to take the shot. And it might be a redundant question because I've asked it before. That's the question, to take the shot or not to take the shot. And before we answer that question, let us answer another question first. The question is, did God or man create COVID-19? Now, let me first say that I believe God, good, is a man. And man, evil, or the devil, is also a man. So was COVID-19 created by God or by the devil? Now, if it was created by God, then we must ask ourselves, what did we do to piss God off so much? What did we do to make God want to destroy our daily lifestyles, to lock down or kill so many of us? What did we do to make God shut the churches down or shut the preachers up? What did we do to make God close schools and to make it harder to teach our children? What did we do? In addition, if God created COVID-19, why would he give man or evil the knowledge to make a vaccine to keep us from getting
right,
it?
Now.
Because I've heard people say, well, I pray to God that God give man the knowledge to make the vaccine. That's the excuse for taking it. But why would God, if he created it, give man the knowledge to come up with a vaccine to stop him from killing people, obviously, he wants to kill? So he can save some of the people that he wasn't trying to kill? Do we mean God can't target his killing better than that? Or God can't target market, as we say? Think about what we're saying. Okay, now, if man or evil created it, what was the purpose for creating COVID-19? If the white man created COVID-19, what was the purpose? And I think one of the purposes, there were several, financial, money, control, and another purpose was further division of us as a people. Because we're headed to the path now where we're going to be divided as a family between one nigga got the shot, one nigga ain't got the shot. And if this nigga ain't got the shot, then he can't come to the family reunion.
Oh, All right, brother. Okay. I'm going to have to hold you right there because you got a whole lot. I'm coming back to you. Great. And he went all the way to the top and then wrapped it back around. Thanks, brother. I'll get back to you in a second.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Man, these are the kind of things we got to think about now. The family divided again. Who got the shot? Who don't got the shot? Who going to take the shot? Well, guess what? It's 3 seconds on the clock. Somebody got to take the shot. Is your best shooter shooting? We evaluating ourselves, right? And this is post-colonialism. This is post-slavery. This is post-Jim Crow. This is post-segregation. This is post-mass incarceration. This is post-war on drugs. Post-war on the family. Post-war on the black man. Post-war on the white man, right? That's a whole different story. Post-war on the black woman and child. Man, we way down the line, y'all. What kind of agenda we going to come with? Because we didn't have a plan coming out of emancipation, and we not working it. We had a dream, but is that dream working for us? We got to ask ourselves the question. I'm going over to 0946. You know what I got to do next. Come on, sister. You got to get ready. We coming.
Bring it!
What? 0946, what's happening?
What? Oh, man, that was, my friend put something on the table there, to take the vaccine or not take the vaccine.
To do or not to do, that is the question.
That is the question. And I guess, you know, it comes down to your own personal belief system is really what's going to dictate whether or not you take the vaccine or not. But I do know this. I know that when hand washing was first introduced to the medical field, there was a lot of resistance with it. They didn't want to do it. They thought it was dumb. They thought it was irrelevant. They thought it was a lot of stains. But based on knowledge and and understanding the advantages of hand washing, it is now an accepted practice. And so I think that we're in new times. I believe, like you say, the pandemic, you know, we're still trying to think, you know, what's the origin, you know, how do they get started and that sort of thing. And we're in new territory now. This won't be our first, this won't be our last pandemic. So it's going to be about what we decide. You make your own personal decision for yourself. And I think a lot of people have a lot of different beliefs and views around it. And I guess that's what makes us a unique family. And so I just encourage people to make their own personal decision based on informed information so that you can make an informed decision. But I appreciate him bringing that up because that is I have friends that are not taking it. They simply are not taking it. I have friends that are taking it. So everybody is doing what they feel is best for them. And I think this call is reminding us that it's really about us doing the best for ourselves that we possibly can. So I just want to continue to say, encourage us to make informed decisions with the understanding that it's just about whatever decision that we make, it's about us becoming a better us, I want to be a better me. And
I like what
Booker says all the time is that, you know, I am the God, you know, people talk about God, but, you know, when people are hungry, it's human hands that take people food. God doesn't drop anything out of the sky. So sometimes the only God that people know is through us. And so I just wanted to just say that and see what anybody else thinks about whether or not to take the vaccine or not. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, sister. So there's a question. Brother put the question out there. To be or not to be, that is the question. What's going on in our world? This is also a potluck, right? Marvin Gaye asked best, what's going on? What's going on in these here streets? What's going on in our families, in our minds, in our households, in our communities? We're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves. Nobody else is going to have to do that for us. We are the product of a system that produces dysfunction. Can we get it together? I'm going over to 9560. 9560, you ready to jump on this line? Talk to me.
Bring it! What?
Right, 9560. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Going once. Hey. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing great.
Hello.
I think.
All right. Go ahead.
I think everybody brought it. Got to hit the streets off. Make the streets talk. Let them know it ain't a sweet walk. This gon' be the only joint made this year. Little knock to 2003. Everybody
say that
brought
again,
up
please.
Great points. I just said everybody brought up great points. I think the challenge is doing what you feel will best benefit you right now. There are a lot of things happening that continue to happen in our community, and unfortunately, we are coming up short on the other end of that stick. So we have to think smart, strategize, and unify, and I think that that will change a lot.
That's so true. That is so true. We need it. Who else gonna do it? Who else can't do it? Nobody can do it but us. Thank you, sister. I'm going to wrap around, see if I can get back to you as the conversation continues to simmer. All right. Great points. We need unity. It continues to be a theme in our conversation that we need unity. How do we get that unity? Right? And again, we have a long line of series of events in our history here in this country that we have to identify with. I think, again, Sankofa, you got to look back. You got to go back and fetch. You got to go see what happened in order to know what's happening now. And there's choices that have to be made. Right? I think, again, it's an individual decision when it comes to getting a shot or not. I know some of our people need it to protect their health because they're just not in good condition. And again, that's where the A comes in at. That's the athletic health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. You got to take care of your body. You can't expect to live in a society like this without taking care of your temple. You got to do something. You got to exercise. You got to eat right, right? You got to do those things that put you in position to maintain your well-being, your health. I'll share this real quickly. There's a thing called the diathesis stress model. If you don't trust me, look it up. All of us come in with predisposed health issues. But when you get to a certain number, so say, for example, you're predisposed, but when you get to 5, you're going to start seeing symptoms. But if you stay under 4 or 3 or 2 or 1, where you just have balance, right, where guess what, hypertension might not show up if you keep maintaining your level of health. So I'm saying you got to understand what it is that you got to do in order to take care of yourself. It's up to us to figure out what's going on. I'm going over to 3249 if you're willing to talk. I'm willing to listen. 3249 is your turn on Empowerment Hour. $32.49. You talking to Marvin Rone today? $32.49. Going once? I'm going to try to come back to you then. I'm going to talk to you. If you hear, I'll come back to you. This is what we got to do, right? We got to think about the next move that we're going to make. Okay, so COVID is in the mix, right? Some of us going to take, some of us not going to take. At the end of the day, one or two things have to happen. We're going to have to figure out our own way of developing systems that's going to work for us. Because, again, this world, like the sister said, this might not be the last vaccine that we need to take if we're taking it. This may not be the last virus that come down the pike. There's a whole lot of other things going on that we need to look at. So the brother brought up a good point. I'm going to slide on over to Brother George. Brother George, can I get you in here? I'm going to crank the music back up for him before I get him in because I got to get his opinion. Yes. Brother George.
Uh, uh, uh,
Brother George.
Right now, we're not going anywhere.
Come on.
Yes, sir, brother. All of what's being said, you know, is very pertinent to the time. You know, I never suspected in my lifetime that I would be walking around with a mask on that I needed to be wearing. I never expected that. And it's really altered the way that the society functions. And in a way, it's almost like a blessing to our people because it has gave us a chance by being in the house for a long period of time to rethink how we're doing things and how the world is ran. And it's also frustrated some people to the extent that I think they're showing their true selves, and which is a blessing to us. Because when someone tells you who they are, you know, believe them the first time. You know, you don't have to wait until they do something more drastic. Believe them the first time. You know, and so it's mind-boggling, you know, but I'm going to continue to work in the community and do all the things that I think are necessary at this point in time because I'm in the community every day. And I just see, you know, that sometimes God, like, you know, they use the expression, God works in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very true. Because this right here, you know, this pandemic is something that none of us ever expected and will be like an experience that our young people are going through, you know, with the mask things while they're teenagers, and some of our young people are 9 or 10 years old and they can't go to school, they can't be with their friends. And so it's like it's a lot that's going on. It's a lot of stress, you know, because a lot of the stress relievers were taken away, you know, through sports activities and things of that nature that we use to relieve stress, through going to the gym, all of that. I mean, some of the gyms open back up now, you know, but at one time, everything was closed and, you know, like any kind of stress relievers, you basically had to use maybe what you were speaking of earlier, the meditations and yogas, things that you could do right at your own home. And, you know, but I'm quite sure that we'll see our way clear on the other side of it. And for our people, the so-called African Americans, I think that it will really change our views on how we want to function from here, you know, from this point forward. Because we're just seeing, you know, so much happen in such a short period of time. Because 2 years is not a long period of time. And for so many transformations and transitions and all of that to take place in such a short period of time, you know, our people are experiencing that. And so I think that we're more open to doing some things to unify and improve our position in the world as a group of people. And I think that because of what we're going through in the streets, that it's forming us into a people, you know, thinking more in terms of, hey, who's going to look out for you if you don't look out for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of things that we don't want to really speak about or talk about, but like the media was very easily and quickly could shift gears over to the Asian community to address what was going on with them and leave us right in the fold. But see, I'm saying, like, if we weren't depending on other people to solve our problems, it would not matter. if they shift over to the Asian community or Hispanic community or white community, whatever the news media decide to do, we're like waiting on somebody to give us something. And we have to get out of that mode, because all of those things, you know, like sometimes people don't understand, but the grounds, the tops of the grounds with diamonds, gold, silver, and different precious metals, sometimes the grounds look very rough and rigid. And I was telling one of my people that work with me that, you know, the our environment has made us rough and callous, but you don't understand what's underneath of that. That is precious diamonds and gold. You know, we're gold, and we're not understanding. You know, we just got to dig to get to it. You know, so that's what, you know, is on my mind today, brother. You know, and so back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. We got to continue to dig. We got to dig within ourselves. There's so much we need to do, and I feel like there's so little time. Our young people need us. What are we giving them? What are we giving our babies to work with? I mean, really. We have to do the job of changing their consciousness ourselves. We got to help them. We got to help them. The only way we're going to be able to help
consciousness
our community is to change our consciousness. Listen closely. Dr. Amos Wilson.
Without human consciousness, there is no world. It is the presence of human consciousness that brings meaning into the world. Without human beings in this world, conscious human beings in this world, in effect, there would not be a world. We bring the world into being through our consciousness. And through our consciousness, we create the world we live in. Out of the totality of reality, our consciousness cuts out a world that befits itself. In other words, the kind of world you exist in reflects the kind of consciousness that you have. And notice, if you change your consciousness or change your values and orientation, you enter into a different world. You interact with different people. People often that you didn't even know existed in the world. Social situations that you might not have even recognized until you entered into a new level of consciousness. You see people, say, for instance, who become addicted, say, to crack or something, and now enter into a whole world and enter into a whole social system that before they became addicted, they hardly noticed. They didn't know what it was all about. And they picked up new friends and new relations, whole new ways of acting, whole new purposes in life. They lost old friends, broke with old families, all kinds of things. In other words, the consciousness, that addictive consciousness, brought into the world a new foreground and put other things into the background. Therefore, man's consciousness is a creative act. And the kind of consciousness you have will determine the kind of world you create. And consequently, when you look at the world that we live in, African people, we must recognize to a great extent it is a world of our own creation. It is a world that has been generated by the type of consciousness we've been permitted to be instilled in us as a people.
Everybody thinks we're on the mother. Who are they to judge us? Mother, mother, simply call the sweet where I am on the mother.
Brother Marv.
One more time. I got to hit the streets off. Make the streets talk. Let them know it ain't a sweet walk. This gon' be the only joint made this year. Little knock to 2003. And y'all gon' see that the hottest out there was, is, and will be me. Just like that. I can go away for a minute. Do some other but bounce right back and win this song. I'm coming strapped with some that'll sprung dust to dawn. And when you gone, ain't no coming back in the morning like that with the dream gone. That's for real. Creep like a seal, talk to steel, sick and make them squeal. Oh my God, those can't be the last words of your man. Damn, your man was so...
As we continue to do the work, man, sometimes this job is hard over here, y'all just don't know. As we continue to do the work over here, right, an honest evaluation is needed to do what we need to do. I'm going over to 9282. 9282, you there?
Yes, sir, my brother.
Hey,
I'm
brother.
Piggybacking again on what you just said, because I've said it before. We have to, what I tell you about being the one. The first thing, one of the first things we must do is be honest with ourselves. Okay, we have to be honest with ourselves. And I'm going to go to my generation, the people that are between 60 and 80 years old, and I'm in the middle of that. We talked about the brother talked about how, you know, our youth and what we're sending to our youth, we're feeding to our youth. I used to tell my students at Armstrong, I say, every time somebody in my generation come to me and say, what's wrong with our children? They doing this, they doing this. I say, take a look in the mirror. We are what's wrong with our children. We are the problem. We have to be honest with ourselves. Look, our children grow up and they see us. Again, I'm getting on us. I'm getting on my people, people in my age group, 60 to 80 years old. You know, we tell you, come to Jesus. Come to church. Come to do this. Jesus is the answer. Jesus. And then when we die, we're going to go to heaven. And, oh, my God, it's going to be pearly gates. It's going to be streets of gold. It's going to be, oh, honey and milk. It's the thing I can't wait to get to. Okay, I am doing what I'm doing. I'm living my life for Christ, so I can get there. And I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to say anything against any religion or hurt any people. Like we're saying, brother, we got to be honest with ourselves.
Don't do it.
This is what we've been teaching. This is what we're teaching our children. This is what we're passing on. And we say, okay, here it is. We got to be every Sunday. We go to church. We go to Bible Sunday. We do this, whatever religion is. And we're trying to get to the Muslims, supposed to be trying to get to the 72 versions and all this. But then when we come up with COVID, again, if it was created by God, then it may be God's way of calling you to glory. Come on home. I sent COVID to you so it can bring you on up here with me. But what do? We run and get a vaccine. We can't wait to get in line to get that damn vaccination. We can't wait to get the line together. We, you know, we shut down churches. We do everything. We put the mask because we're scared of COVID. But if it was created by God, it may be his way of calling you to glory. And you running
somebody
from it. Gonna get a vaccine. You're going to get a shot. But then if it wasn't created by God and was created by man, it was created by the devil, then you turn it to man. You turn it to the devil to give you the vaccine. To protect
somebody
against something he done created to kill you. Because you know, and then your children are looking at this, they seeing all this, they realize you don't know what the hell you doing. You don't know what you're talking about. Then in fact, you scared to die. So then the children take on the attitude where I gotta get mine, I gotta get my own. Damn this, y'all, and you see what you get, what we get, what we got. Because the messages from the top are all confusing and they all not, look. If the church, wait, come on. Why are we shutting down? If you're a church, you're a man of God, and you're up there, you've been preaching this all your life about, God ain't gonna let it happen to me. That's what we've been saying every Sunday until it become a reality, that I'm protected. I walk with God. All I got to do is say, in Jesus' name, on all praise is due to Allah, and I don't have to worry about that because I'm with God. Then all of a sudden, I'm in line waiting for a vaccine. because God has given man the knowledge to send me the vaccine, to create the vaccine, to protect me against what God created. Come on, y'all. We got to be honest with ourselves and what we're saying. And our children are looking to us for guidance. And brothers and sisters, they're not getting it. And as the brother said on the tape earlier, and that's when they kill us. Because they see us as damn fools. Where we going? They see us as being whoremongers. They see us telling one thing and we jumping in the marriage bed or tipping in another man's house or another woman's house, and we going all over the place. They see us in the bootlegger joint. They see us in the trap
house. Stay out
of
people's house.
Our children are observing, and they see us saying one thing and we doing another. And they see the fear in us, and then they realize the contradiction. And they say us, and they say, then the children realize, hey, I got to get mine. I got to do what I got. This is a dog-eat-dog world, and I got to look out for goddamn number one.
Mm.
And a lot of the times the children look, and the dad ain't even in the house, you know.
True.
And the same man they see on Sunday up there treating one thing, they see him in the whole house, in the liquor house, and all the other places
what?
In the neighborhood doing. And he doesn't live in the neighborhood. Well, all the hell is going on. He doesn't live there. Brother, I'm just keeping it real. I'm not attacking anyone, but like you said at the beginning of this show, we've got to be honest with ourselves, man. It ain't going to happen if we don't be honest with ourselves. No unity, no justice, and no peace. We've got to be, brother. And you said it. I'm telling you, we've got to come clean, as they say. We got to be honest with ourselves. And one thing I used to tell the students at Armstrong, I said, I know one thing. If you grew up in the hood, if you anybody in the hood, the one thing you better know is how to recognize game. The hood will teach you how to recognize game. If you don't, then you're going to be gamed on all your life. And that's the bottom line, brother. That's the truth of the matter. As you said, we must be honest with ourselves. We can't move forward. If I'm an alcoholic, I got to admit I'm an alcoholic before I can improve my life. If I'm a junkie, I got to admit I'm a junkie. I have a problem before I can even solve it. If I keep bullshitting and messing around with it and don't come clean on it, I ain't going to solve the problem. I'm going to keep letting the problem go. I'm going to ignore it. You know, and hoping somebody else change it. Hoping to get better in the next generation, in the next generation, in the next generation, and come up with nice slogans like, keep hope alive. What? You know? Brother, like you said, it's hard. It ain't easy. And I've said it, it's not easy. I understand it's not easy. This is not easy at all. It's the most difficult thing we're going to have to do as a people, by far. By far, and you must be willing to die for it. If you ain't willing to die for it, don't play with it.
Hold that right there.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Thank you, sir.
Yes,
man,
sir. Thank you, brother.
Brother laid it down. You're welcome. Oh, man. Now you see why they don't like to listen to this show? I wouldn't either. If I was in a certain place, I don't want to hear that no more, right? But guess what? When you go to the doctor, sometimes you got to hear the news in order to get the healing. Sometimes you got to go to the doctor to get a prescription for what's ailing you. The prescription for us is unity, getting our act together, getting our show on the road, giving our kids something to do, opportunities, jobs. Instead of putting guns in our kids and drugs in our kids' hands, why don't we put jobs and money in their hand ourselves? What's wrong with that? 0946, I'm going to come to you in a minute. Whew, man, I got to do this. 0946, bring it. What you got?
Well, you know, one of the challenges that the brother said about being honest, people will not be honest with themselves if they don't see the benefits. People do what they do because it benefits them. If I lie, lying benefits me. If I'm stealing, stealing benefits me. So something has to happen for me to believe that what I'm doing is not the best way to do it. And when you grow up hook and crook, that's all you know. So people have to experience something different. It's not enough just to tell people something. People have to experience something different. And so we can't have unity if we don't believe in the sources that are telling us what they're telling us. So Booker is telling us what we need to do, but if they don't trust Booker, and not because it has anything to do with him, but because the system has taught us not to trust one another. So we bring the good news, we bring the solution, but our community will believe everybody but us. And so we get out there and we try to help, school, teach, educate, and the very people that we're trying to help end up turning on you because they've been conditioned not to trust you. So what do we do about that? What do we do about this ingrained distrust that we have for one another? We've got to deal with that. Because if we don't deal with that, everything else is just a Band-Aid. And I don't have the answer. I don't have the solution to that. I just know it's a problem, and we've got to have a solution to overcome that problem of how do we, you cannot have unity when you don't trust somebody. Can't do it. So this ingrained distrust that we have among one another, it shows up in colorism. It shows up in the crabs in the barrel. One person trying to get ahead, other person don't want you to get ahead. It comes in not being jealous of one another. It comes in a lot of different forms. So I don't know what it's going to take for us to trust one another. So I want to throw that out there. What does somebody think? What is it going to take for us to move from this distrust?
Thank you, sister. That's a good question. I appreciate you. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Brother Booker, and everybody else that called in today. This is what we got. The sister asked the question. What do we do? Good question. The thing that we need to do to get unity, in my opinion, is to do a couple of things. The first thing is to get trust, right? How can you love somebody you don't trust? So we talk about self-love. How can you love what you don't trust? How can you trust what you don't know? Our people are continuously fed something that they're accustomed to. It's in their consciousness. How do we now present a new deal, a new package called trust that our people can, if we can begin to trust, then we can love. And if we can begin to love one another, listen carefully, if we trust, then we can love. And if we can trust, then we can gain understanding. And if we trust, then we can get committed to each other, one another, just communicate to get understanding. And I'm sure that if we continue to operate in love, creating the unity that we need within family, within relationship, because again, you can't trust nobody you don't love, and you can't love nobody you don't trust. You can't love nobody that you don't understand. You got to be able to commit to communicating. And if you would be willing to love, to trust, to commit to understanding, commit to communicating, even when it's hard, you can then find peace. And if we can find peace, then we can find a solution. The solution is unity, love, commitment, communication, and peace. I'm out of here. Have a great day. Peace.